Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Thank you, Randy. How are you?
You know, I'm doing well today. I am doing well. I've been watching the Oprah Life classes, and I know you're an Oprah fan, and so I'm all fired up. I've got my gratitude journal going, and
what is she doing? You know, I never really watched Oprah's, believe it or not, over the years. I believe in her. I love what she's doing. I think she's such an inspiration to the world, but I never really watched a lot of the shows. Like, what is she doing with the light thing? Is it about spiritual lightness?
Yeah, Life Class, the tour, she's been, for the last 5 weeks, she has been all over the country. Yesterday she was in, or Monday night, she was in Canada with kind of the finale. And so she had on Tony Robbins, Deepak Chopra,
awesome.
T.D. Jakes, and then a gal, I'm not sure, I forget her name, but another African-American gal with short hair who was very, very inspirational. And basically, yeah, their whole show was on gratitude and how to be thankful regardless of what's going on. Everything in your life is a gift, everything, good when bad. And I know,
yes,
based on our topic today, sometimes that's a difficult thing to swallow. But there was actually a gal in the studio audience, and they featured her and the fact that she had the love of her life, and this guy treated her better than any guy had ever treated her, and she was married to him, and they had 5 years of just wedded bliss, and then he contracted cancer and died, and she prayed and God, and so basically she was angry. Obviously, angry at God, and she thought she did everything correct. And anyway, so then each of the four people, the master teachers, if you will, kind of commented to her after she shared her story. And very healing, very, very helpful. And anyway, so Oprah's been...
That's exactly right on topic with what we're doing right now. And I think, it's all about spiritual and life and...
Yeah.
We have our ups and our downs, and wow, that sounds really cool. So the light program, I'll have to check it out, is about spiritual, about everything.
Yeah, and
it deals
you can
with.
Actually...
Is the light our spirit she's talking about? Or
it's called Life Class, L-I-F-E Class, tour. And you can actually go on YouTube and there's segments of it there. And I think I emailed you a segment today.
Oh, nice. I literally got back late last night. I haven't been on my email yet.
Back. How long did it take to fly back from France?
Well, they have a wonderful nonstop flight now from Paris to Washington, D.C. that's only 8.5 hours, which is great.
Wow.
Now, for me, it took a lot longer for me because I had to take a train from La Rochelle to Paris because so that, of course, took me about an extra four and a half hours, the weather wasn't that great. And, of course, I've been going through major grief, so that time really gave me a lot of time to cry in privacy, I should say,
Yeah.
So, and it's just, I really wanted to do, because we can do what we want to do, that's the nice thing about it being entrepreneurial and us having our show and doing what we want to do.
Yeah.
I really wanted to do the topic on grief today. Because it's a really serious, debilitating thing that, if not handled well, people kill themselves. There's many times you hear of different situations, and of course we don't want to always be negative or anything, but I tell you, I think reality in life, just like you mentioned, where the woman, you know, had the man who treated her like gold, and then he dies 5 years later with cancer, and her life was probably, it was like probably like the rug got swept out from under her.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when we get to these points in our lives where we feel like we're living in bliss, we feel like we've, you know, learned a lot of life's knocks and how to handle things, how to take care of ourselves, and we think we kind of are in control of things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very rude awakening when all of a sudden we find out, whoa, we're not in control, you know?
Yeah.
And this grief is very, very serious, and I wanted to do it on the show on it because with what we do, we can, you know, of course, the title will say grief, so if somebody wants to specifically talk about real estate, they're going to know that's or listen to it about real estate, they can skip
yeah.
over it,
yeah.
you know, and that's the beauty about what we do. It's a beautiful thing about, you know, webinars, teleseminars, recordings, you know, all these things you can, videos. It's so neat in today's day and age, you can hear pieces, you can take what you like and leave the rest.
Yeah.
And but I definitely have been dealing in these stages, and have felt firsthand how, you know, our world doesn't. I take that back. Our world does and doesn't. There's support groups. There's support centers. There's places to go to that are there if you know to reach out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you know to go and get help. Me, of course, I'm a talker, so and I have no problem calling, picking up the phone, calling friends, calling people, reaching out, talking to get through things. Although even with as much as me being a talker all these years, after going through the last 3 months of my brother's death, I've gotten to the point where I found myself not calling me friends, not calling this one, not calling that one, because I was feeling like I'm being a real pain in the neck. You know what I mean? Like, they, you know, some people don't know what to say anymore. They don't want to upset me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be, you know, you want to be a friend and help them too. And how am I helping when it's I'm just upset all the time type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And that creates isolation. So when I have been the type of person my whole life, nobody handed me anything. So lots of times people see things I've done and say, oh, you know, she must have married this one or had this one or family helped here of heaven. And no, I've always done it on my own. And but I've been that type of person who's been driven and who has been in control of a lot of my destiny when I wanted to move here, move there, mm-hmm. downsize or go here, even though I may have given up lots of monies at different times with making the money. I'm saying not everybody. It was still my decision, my
yeah.
choice. You know, when I was in a bad marriage years and years ago, it's been 20-some years I was divorced, I got out of it. And one of the items that really forced me to get out of it, one of the items, I shouldn't call it an item, one of the situations that actually opened my eyes and made me finally make the move to get out of a really bad marriage was when my dad died and I was almost 24. It was just a month, 2 months away from turning 24, so I was 23. And he was only 45, and it really woke me up, and I said, life is short, I'm not going to stay in this. But the reason I mention this, and I'm bringing it up to where I feel I want to do a show on grief. I want to talk about this because I feel that our society kind of poo-poos it away unless you know where to go and get the help and you stay
yeah.
consistent in the help. But being the type of person I've been, I've always been able to later, you find peace and you meditate and you do things. And when something happens, like my brother died 4 hours after I talked to him, it was just, it's so devastating, debilitating. You're like, wait a minute, this is not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And through the process, though, I've seen and learned so many things that I feel, I want to put that out there because we still, and you and I, Randy, are very positive people. Although some of my people might be saying, "Well, my God, I'm listening to their shows and they're talking about these horrible, you know, topics." And
yeah.
And no, we really love people. We really love to serve. Monica, you and your wife are totally into serving. And we really do live by the motto, you know, the glass is half full.
Mm.
try to be positive, okay?
Yeah.
You know, think positive thoughts. I mean, look at, you were talking about Tony Robbins and Deepak Chopra, and I mean, they all teach positive, anchor, you know, repetitive, stay in the good zone, right?
We love
God, trust God, turn it over to God. We stay in those zones, and for the most part, life's fine, right?
Yeah.
But how do you stay in those zones when someone you love is just taken away from you, boom, just like that?
Yeah.
And in looking at grief, Elizabeth Krueger defined the five stages of grief years back, denial and isolation, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Those levels, they don't just go in consecutive order. You may think you're through one, and then months later it rears its ugly head up again. You may go through a piece of it, and then back and forth and all the way around. And I guess what I'm seeing and hearing and feeling is that we're not totally set up to deal with that part and get people through it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Most people,
yeah.
You know, think about it. When you say, go down the street and say, hi, how are you doing? You expect the person to say, I'm fine, how are you? You know? And somebody says, I'm terrible, how are you? You know? I would be the type to say, hey, what's wrong? What's bugging you? Okay?
Yeah.
And want to talk about it. But
a lot of
people are, oh, okay. And they want to hush. So I wanted to do this on the grief just because, you know, I lost my brother and in a tragic way, and a couple issues that I'm going to bring up as we get through the show are going to explain some of the issues and the struggles we deal with, and each person deals with grief differently, okay? So one person may be able to plug right back into life even though they're dying inside, and go about their day. Another person may be totally debilitated and can't do anything. You know, some people need months, years. Some people may not need as long. Everybody's different, and it's really okay. It's okay to be different.
Absolutely.
But the other thing that's really jumped out at me, though, is I'm dealing with grief about the loss of my brother, and I felt really guilty, which I'll bring up later, that I'm starting to learn through. I couldn't have prevented it. I thought because he had somebody cheating on him and he was provoked and all these other things that possibly I could have prevented it a couple months before when I knew these things were happening. And I'm finally, and the guilt that I felt has been debilitating to where I'm finally getting through the guilt, realizing, wait a minute. I didn't cause the accident. I couldn't have stopped it. And even if I had done the things that I wish I would have done that months before to help him get out of that relationship, that doesn't mean the accident still wouldn't have happened, you know?
Yeah.
And these types of things, when the light bulb goes off or when we feel it, we go, oh, you know? And I mentioned that, which I'll bring up later in the show, to a girlfriend. And she said, Natalie, I've been telling you that for the past few months, that you weren't guilty. There's nothing you could have done. You've been the best sister, yada, yada. I said, I know, but until
you got to process it, and
the forefront, and some of the things that happened. I had an interesting thing happen on the way back last night in the shuttle from the airport. But in this process, what I realized is, you know, for me, it had to, I mean, you know, my brother dying, a death, that to me, tragic. I'm used to being a pretty independent, strong person in life. So some of the smaller tragedies or sides or backsteps or traumas or things that may get somebody else totally thrown into grief maybe didn't for me, right?
Yeah.
You know, I would be the type that says if this deal doesn't work out for some reason, then there's a bigger deal or a better reason. You know, one door closes, another opens. I've tended to look at a lot of things in life that way. And it gives me a lot more empathy because you see grief, it doesn't just come because of death. Grief can come from any type of loss.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a breakup. It could be a breakup. It could be financial loss. They lose their jobs. They lose their houses or house. You know, when we, this financial crisis going on,
you know, there's been people actually committing suicides because they're getting ready to lose their house, you know? And this grief is serious. It's not like it's all about your attitude that day, how you look at it. It's actually a debilitating thing. It actually affects your hormones, your stress system, you know, it's just so many things. And I guess what I just want to really be able to point out is that if you're going through grief, and it doesn't mean, it could be that you have depression. There could be a chemical imbalance plus depression plus a grief episode that set it off to where it throws you into this really low energy debilitating place. Right? And so it may be necessary sometimes to go talk to a doctor or talk to a counselor. Medicine is sometimes a help. It may be a temporary help, but they really, the doctors, you know, and the doctors should do tests to see if there are, you know, chemical imbalances or do questions. I know there's some tests they can do, some they can't. I'm a firm believer, though, if somebody gets on medicines that they, one thing I do think that some of the doctors do that I don't believe is correct is to administer antidepressants or medications for chemical reactions without making the person go to some type of counseling. I think two go hand in hand. And honestly,
absolutely.
Randy, you hear constantly stories where the doctors are writing prescriptions, and I'm not knocking a doctor, I'm just saying, and they're not even having the people go to counseling. So the two go hand in hand and can really, I think, work well together, but not if they're just given medicine and they're off on their own. So I know I'm just going over kind of the different things, but with grief, somebody might say, oh my gosh, all my friends aren't depressed and I'm depressed and why am I so depressed? You know, if you're depressed, it's okay that you're depressed. And and I'm bringing up the grief part because for me, it's been strictly the death of my brother, which I'll never feel the same till the day I die. I mean, I'm never going to not miss him and cry, and I just miss him to no end. But it doesn't have to be a death. There's so many other issues. You know, somebody's cheats on somebody or somebody's, you know, the breakup, just like you mentioned, the five-year relationship in the, well, that was a death. The husband died. It's a major loss that, you know, so, and the other thing, you know, some people say the worst things when they're going through, when they're lost, you know, you'll get over it. It'll be okay. Don't worry about it. Move on. Get on with life. You know, and the person's just like, so these are the things I wanted to kind of go over and in through it, and maybe we'll do a quick break. I'm rambling on here, but my heart really goes out to so many different situations that affect grief. And right now there's a lot of people going through a lot of a grief just because of finances, too.
Oh, yeah. They're grieving the loss. They're grieving, like you said, loss of a job or you know, loss of a lifestyle. I mean, I know for a fact, Monica, I have counseled couples where because of the loss of a job, the lifestyle quality, you know, has gone down. And you know, and there's resentment because, you know, the kids and the wife were used to a certain, you know, lifestyle, and now they've got to move into a smaller house and maybe, you know, go to a public school. I don't know. There's things like that are issues, and, you know, you can poo-poo them and say, oh, you know, suck it up, get over it, you know, move on. But grief is grief, and when you're, you know, obviously I'm not saying it equates at all with losing a loved one, but when, like you said, it's loss, and whatever that is, it's just a process of going through it.
But you know what? Like, the equating with not losing a loved one is, you know, for me it wouldn't, but for somebody who it could be just as bad for somebody. You know, for example, you were saying, like, they can't send the kids to certain schools. I won't mention a couple that's very well off that has had a lot of financial troubles, so they're not as well off now, that in their family the kids had to go to the best private schools, yada, 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 and they're freaking out. They're almost on the verge of divorce. They're doing this and this, which is ridiculous. And the poor kids, if they don't get A's, they are severely punished.
Yeah.
And I think that's horrible. But to them, because the way they were raised, their upbringing, and what they believe in their family, they think this is the normal course of events. And you can see, you can see a potential divorce coming. You can see nervous kids. You can see all these things that, you know, I've said things before and tried to counsel a little bit, but it's not always our place to do that. So you're right. It doesn't have to be, you know, like, for example, people say, oh, you lost a brother. Oh, you know, well, my brother and I are so close that that was debilitating for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things where until somebody gets the root of the issues, lots of times these other things happen to us. There's other issues that come up. You know, we've talked about this before in some of our shows when we're talking about the spiritual, how, you know, lots of times other symptoms and problems come up from tragedies, right? So maybe you're thrown into a depression and other things can throw you into it too, and maybe it's time to heal, time to go in and dig in and figure out, okay, what makes me feel like this? Why is this happening, you know? And, you know, the worst thing, though, and I did want to mention, I guess we need to take a break, but before I take it, I want to mention one thing real quick. Suicide hotline. A lot of people, it's been proven that, you know, they get into these bad grief situations and they may not want to live, you know, and they may seriously consider taking their lives. They may be afraid to tell anybody because they're afraid someone's going to take them away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They also maybe really wouldn't think they would never really do it, you know, but they're in such a grief state, such a no way out, feeling blocked in a corner, feeling like there's no other avenue and they don't know what to do. The best thing you can do is talk and get in touch with somebody. So they do have, it's called Suicide Hotline. They have them everywhere, and there's a national hotline, and the phone number for that is 1-800-273-TALK. 1-800-273-TALK. I'll have to look up the actual number, too, so somebody doesn't have to figure it out on your phones. I notice a lot of the new phones, you might not have letters on your phone.
So
I will get that in a second and figure that out.
That's good.
But anyhow, if you want to take a minute break.
Let's do that. Let's take a break. Realty Universal Radio is the name of the program, and Natalie Mullenix, Realty Universal, and she is the president and founder of Realty Universal. My name is Randy Zachary. Our number, by the way, is 347-945-5428. Our audience is growing each week, and it's pretty exciting. You may be listening, most of the folks, well, I don't say most of it, but some of you are listening, archived at some point, and you know, you can't call in, but you're enjoying the program. You can email us, realtyuniversalradio@realtyuniversal.com. And, of course, our website, realtyuniversal.com. So we're going to take a break. And, again, the number, if you want to get back in touch with us, 347-945-5428. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Grief is a natural emotion that is deeply personal, and it can take days, weeks, months, or even years to work through the feelings. There is no timetable for grieving a loss. Everyone heals differently. For most, there are several stages to the grieving process, and they are denial, a numbness and disbelief that the event has occurred. Denial acts as a shock absorber that helps us assimilate the difficult truth. Anger. When we have been abandoned by loss or death, anger can be very powerful. When we experience a loss, we can be angry at anyone or anything, the person who died, ourselves, institutions, or even God. Guilt, a feeling of regret or conflict or shame about the loss. Depression, overwhelming sadness about the loss that can seem never-ending. As we begin to acknowledge the loss and reality sets in, we can begin to feel sad, hopeless, and unprotected. And finally, acceptance. Acceptance means that you know that life has changed, and that you need to find new ways of responding to that change. It's an awareness of life's new realities and a readiness to move forward. If you are coping with any loss, there are many resources in our community that can and want to support you. Please contact me at the Needham Youth Commission if you, a member of your family, or someone you know is struggling and might benefit from professional support or direction.
James Scurlock's remarkable documentary shines the light of truth on a national tragedy. You know, many Americans are drowning in debt, way too many, and something has to be done to stem this tide. I know about this personally. I was a millionaire starting from nothing by age 26, and I was broke again by 30. I crashed. I splatted. I did stupid with zeros on the end, and then I started over, and I was a millionaire again by the time I was 40. That time I did it with no debt because I don't borrow money. I crashed and burned, but I learned. Believe me, I learned. And for almost 15 years now, I have sat at a broadcast desk like this, doing our talk radio show 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, listening to the pain and heartbreak of literally hundreds of thousands of Americans, millions of them listening in while I do that. Sure, I give advice, but first I listen. Never stop listening. Winning at money, personal finance, wealth building is 80% behavior. It's only 20% head knowledge. If you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting. If you really want a different result, you've got to get knowledge, yes. But more importantly, you have to change your behavior permanently. When my wife Sharon and I did that, it revolutionized our lives. Personal finance isn't rocket science. It's just common sense. It's how your grandparents lived. If you don't have the money, you can't buy it. Hey, there's a neat idea. And you know, you can learn how to handle money. You can change your behaviors. You can do it. Where do you start, though? Well, here's some practical ideas that our team members teach all across the nation every day. First, stop the bleeding. You can't get out of a hole while you're digging out the bottom. Cut up your credit cards. That's right. Plastic surgery, a plastectomy. You learn the difference between wants and needs, and for now, you only buy what you really need, and even if you're going to buy a want, you only do it with cash. And start using cash more. We suggest you use a thing called the envelope system, where you put cash in some envelopes for some of your spending categories, and you write on them what the money's for. On your food envelope, you write food, and then you can only buy food out of the food envelope. And you can't buy clothes out of the food envelope. And you can't buy food out of the clothes envelope. No cheating. And when that envelope's empty, I don't care if the shirt's on sale. Shut up. You can't buy it. That's how it works. Then get on a budget. We recommend a zero-based budget. Spend your whole paycheck on paper before the month begins. Give every dollar a name. Every dollar has a predestination. You gotta love it. Hey, if you don't have a job, get one. We recommend a program we call the baby steps, because you can walk all the way around the world if you do it one step at a time, step by step by step. And cleaning up and winning with money is the same way. We have 7 baby steps we want to walk you through. Baby step 1, start a beginner baby emergency fund of $1,000. Really quickly, I want you to get a $1,000 rainy day fund just to keep the little emergencies from becoming new debt. Number 2. Set up a plan to get out of debt. We use a thing we call the debt snowball, where you list your debts smallest to largest, pay minimum payments on everything but the little one, and attack the little one with a vengeance. When that one's gone, you take the payments you used to pay there, and you attack the next one down. When that one's gone, you take the payments from 1 and 2, and you attack number 3, and you work all of your debts off except your house using the debt snowball. And you do that with real focused intensity, this, I've had it, I'm getting out of debt. Then once you finish baby step 2 and you're out of debt, everything but the house, you go back to that $1,000 account in baby step 3 and raise it up to 3 to 6 months of expenses. Once you've done that, then you move on to baby step 4, which is 15% of your income into retirement. 5 is saving for your kids' college, if that applies to your situation. 6 is pay off the house early. You know, we're teaching people this all over America. They're paying off their homes in 7, 8, 9 years. How cool is that? And without a house payment, you move on to the last baby step. Baby step 7 is become very wealthy and give a bunch of it away. When it comes to money, ignorance isn't bliss. You need to get in a class. Find one that offers both information and accountability. There are classes taught right now in thousands of locations all across the country. In classes, people learn what they need to know, and they put the knowledge to work, encouraging and supporting each other in the process. Read books about money. You know, I've written several, but there are many other people that have written great books. 5 years from now, Charlie Tremendous Jones says, you'll be the same person you are today, except for the people you meet and the books you read. Read, 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 read. Turn your car into a learning center. Zig Ziglar says this, we offer help and hope to callers on more than 300 radio stations, including Sirius and XM, 5 days a week. We take this message of personal responsibility, and we do it in live events several times a year with audiences that number tens of thousands of people. You know, I'm just one guy, but there's a lot of other people out there doing this stuff. Listen, help's available if you want it badly enough. You'll find it. I can tell you this, very few things are certain in life, but this much I can promise you, the anxiety, the pain, the calls from creditors, the hopeless cycle of debt, it will continue until you change. Yes, the companies are misbehaving, but you know what? It's up to you to fix your life. That personal responsibility element is where you have control. You can rock your world doing this.
And we are back. It's I was just looking at the clock here in California. It's 12:33 West Coast time. Natalie Mullinex, Randy Zachary, Realty Universal Radio, the name of the program. And again, realtyuniversal.com, the website. And again, it is, as we say all the time, it's a show about real estate. It's a show about God. It's a show about life. And today, we're talking about life. We're taking the whole hour, and we're talking about grief. And Natalie's been very honest, in the past several weeks and months now, since her brother's tragic passing, and been very honest and vulnerable, sharing what she's been through. And then today is kind of no exception. She continues to share about the process, and we're excited about what God's showing you in this. And I mentioned Natalie on this Oprah's Life Class thing that there was a young lady who shared with this really esteemed panel, Tony Robbins and T.D. Jakes and Deepak Chopra and this other lady, and this esteemed panel, and she's talking about her grief and how she's, and this one lady goes, I forget her name, but one of the panelists, and she said, okay, so who are you angry at right now? And she said, well, I was angry at God that, he took my husband. And she goes, well, then, okay, but who are you angry at right now? And be honest. And she went, okay, I'm still angry at God. And she goes, and that's okay. He's big enough. He can handle it. And somehow we think, that he doesn't know. You need to confess that. And then she kind of got in her face a little bit, but it was in a loving way. She said, and when was it that you decided you were going to be God and not let God be God? She goes, why are you mad at God? And she said, well, because I prayed and I did everything the Bible told me to do, and my husband still died. He still took him from me. And I did everything I could do. And she said, but again, you're not God. And we are told to pray for people who are sick, absolutely. But in the end, it is God who gives and he who takes away, and we need to let him be God. And then T.D. Jakes and these other folks kind of piggybacked and said, and guess what? It kind of goes along with what you're saying, you're learning, which is, T.D. Jakes goes, but guess what? I bet in the last few months you have found a strength that you never thought you would have, And she goes, yes, I have. And he goes, that's a gift. So that even this terrible thing is a gift to you, and you're going to be able to help other people in this situation. It's this thing that happens when, the place of our greatest pain can become the place of our greatest victory, much like Jesus on the cross, if we let it. But it's a process. Yeah. It doesn't happen overnight, as you know. And I really applaud you for, your vulnerability and your bravery in sharing what you're sharing today.
It's really, it's gut-wrenching, and God does take care of us, and I do believe in heaven. I believe our spirits go on, and there's a great, George Anderson, I think, who's a medium psychic, has a book that said, We Do Not Die, and I know in Christianity, and I'm a Christian, they say we're not supposed to look at that and everything, but I like to read a little bit about everything. I really do, and mm-hmm. I really do believe that the spirit does go on, and, there's other planes, and there's so much we don't know about things. But God's amazing, and God does, and that's a big thing, because it's true, we're not God. We can't control everything, and we, in our, it's a double-edged sword. I wish we really need some classes for the kids when they're real little, like more on finances, more on spiritual things, because it's a double-edged sword. We're taught to go through life, rah, 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 be positive, be powerful, be whatever, go for your dreams and be positive. And then on some of these negative things that happen, our tragedies, we're taught to just kind of deal with it, get over it, deal with it, do this,
yeah,
da, 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 da.
Yeah.
So it's hard. I mean, I've had a lot of people saying to me, and I love God and I believe in heaven, oh my gosh, Natalie, Leonard's so much better off up there. Are you kidding? He's better off up there than we are down here. He's just having the best life. And I'm like, well, then maybe I should be up there. What am I doing here? you start to go, and then you're like, wait a minute, that's not, I'm not supposed to go until it's my time. You got to be careful with what you're thinking.
Yeah.
But really, sometimes you can get so annoyed with some of the comments because, it's not helping, Or I've had a lot of people say, well, this one died and that one died and this happened and this happened and this happened. I'm like, I really appreciate what you're saying to me right now, but that's not helping me. This is, you know, this isn't helping me.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me feel any better because my situation right now is very important to me. And this is the worst situation that I've been through in my life for me, and I'm 50 years old now. So give me that peace and that place to experience it my way, you know. And these are the things that we need to be able to say to people and put our foot down and mean it. But this is where, like, the support groups are great for people because you're finding and you get to talk to other people that are going through the same thing you're going through. You know, you may have friends that just avoid you because they don't know what to say. And then you think, well, are these really my friends or not my friends? But, you know, the good thing that does come out of life is life does go on, even though we feel like, how can it go on? How can this pain be so strong? You know, and then you have many people say, well, we die when it's our time. So if you really believe that, then we all, you know, it's easier. But I don't know if I believe that we have accidents as well. You know, when it comes to the material attachments, people losing homes, you know, it's very, very, very hard at the time because they feel, I think a lot of people when they're in a situation when a marriage is breaking up, homes are breaking, you know, they're losing homes, the finances, it comes back to that thing again where we're supposed to be doers, getting our goals, making it work. All of a sudden it's easy to feel like a loser. Oh, my gosh, I didn't.
Yeah.
What did I do wrong in the marriage that it didn't work? Oh,
yeah.
What did I do financially? How come I didn't plan enough that now I've just lost all my monies in the stock market, you know, or my job's gone, and why didn't I plan for this emergency, you know? And all these things come back because we're really good at saying we have to do these positive things, but we're really bad about getting negative. You know, they'll always say, like in business, you know, if one thing's wrong, that one person, if they're not happy, they're going to tell 100 people. But if you did a good job, they're going to tell a handful of people.
Yep.
And I think it's the society we're in, and we have to find that inner strength, and which we can find through meditating, taking care of ourselves. You know, there's no time limit on grief. So when somebody says, you'll get over it, it'll be okay in a month, it'll be better tomorrow, you do what you feel is right. If you want to cry, cry.
Yeah.
If you want to, you know, whatever you feel is right, you need to do, but it's really important to reach out and reach out to the people that are going to be able to help you, like the grief centers, doctors, community, you know, friends are good, and it's good to talk to friends, but they may not be able to help you in the same way, you know. And we had mentioned the suicide hotline number before. I want to mention it again because it was 1-800-273-TALK, but the actual numbers are 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. If you're on the computers, you can even Google suicide hotlines, and they have local groups for everything, every different types of anything you can imagine. It's just we're so lucky now with internet, whoever has it. I mean, not everybody has it. To be able to learn about these things and get through it. And, you know, the pain, the biggest thing is you want the pain to go away, and it doesn't necessarily go away right away, and it can take a long, long time. But I just felt it was really important for us to get on this and talk about it because even, you know, even, for example, the gurus and people you mentioned, you know, with different talk shows or different things, they've all gone through things. Everybody goes through stuff, right?
Absolutely.
And nobody's going to have the best day every single day. It's, you know, this thing called life, I thought, well, gosh, it's, you know, we can control this or work on this and this, but we really can't control it all.
I love what you say about the illusion of control, you know, because we, especially those of us with dysfunctional backgrounds, we grow up vowing to never be out of control, to never let someone else control our lives, and so we're going to be in control, and we may have enough gifting and whatnot to give the appearance of control, where we start, like you said earlier, we start to make our life happen, and yet there's always that something that comes along that shows us we're really not in control. And I found that it's expectations. I think people get upset when they the expectations, and again with God or each other, we expect things, and we expect God to heal us, and we expect God to provide, and we expect. And I think if we can change expectations to appreciation and be thankful for what we have instead of thinking about what we don't have and what we expect, you know, and we know this, that more of what you are thankful for shows up in your life, and you can be appreciative of, you know, for in your case, you know, yes, you can focus on, and there are times to grieve and to focus on how much you miss, you know, your brother. But also, you know, sprinkle in some time of appreciation about the time you had with him and how much.
Oh, I'm so grateful. So grateful.
Yeah, so there's a gratefulness and appreciation. And I love that, you know, I think when we turn expectation into appreciation, the world does change because we're appreciative of everything's a gift.
And, you know, we need to realize that you're okay, I'm okay. Everybody's wonderful. We're all unique. We bring that up a lot. We have one fingerprint for a reason. God gave us amazing, miraculous gifts individually. And we have to realize it because, like, the worst thing you can do when you're going through grief is turn towards drugs and alcohol. Now, it may be necessary for the doctor to give some antidepressants or some type of relaxation drugs. I'm not sure they would know better for a temporary situation. But I'm talking about, you know, drugs or alcohol. Those are depressants, and that's the worst thing you can do because that's going to bring you down even more. Big thing to do is try to drink a lot of water, sleep as much as you want, get out and walk, exercise, even if you can only do it a few minutes. These types of things are going to help with your endorphins, are going to help your body, because there's a lot of chemical things going on. You're depleting your B vitamins, you're depleting many, many, you know, your Ds, and these things have effects on how we're seeing things, how we're getting it. I wanted to mention the you know, it's very difficult because, like, for example, with my brother, and Randy, you and I have talked about this in the past where years back, gosh, was it 06 or so, 07, I think I said, no, I want to do the real estate and the self-help. And my good friends that have been in the, you know, production stuff, like I've told you before, with speaking, et cetera, said, you can't do that, Nellie. Come on, just do all real estate. Forget it. You can't do it. And I had woke up one morning years back and said, no, well, why not? Why can't I do it? There's nothing to say you can't do it, you know? And so we've been on this path of doing things, and it'll play out where it needs to play out and how it's supposed to go. I do believe in synchronicity. I do believe in God. I do believe that there will be a good, there's always something good out of everything. But I tell you, what happens though is, there's different stages of where we go in life and how we handle these things, but I've also been really big on it's time to heal. And we all, like you mentioned before about those of us who've had dysfunctional childhoods, I mean, many, many people have had dysfunctional families and childhoods, and there's not very many Leave It to Beaver families, right?
Nope.
Maybe Leave It to Beaver's family was a little too boring anyhow. I don't know, you know?
They were the dysfunctional ones. They were the dysfunctional ones.
I don't know, if you went back and we watched the Leave It to Beaver show nowadays, I don't know how many people would think it was. I don't know, but anyhow, we all need love and we all need peace.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take, you don't have to have tons of education and tons of anything to know to give your kids love and peace. You know, these people that go and they just freak out because they can't, because of their own lives on their children. We have that. They know that this is wrong. Okay, it doesn't take it doesn't take a high intelligence level to know that that's wrong. But I do believe that there's different issues that, you know, it's universal. Well, the world's a small world that we live in overall, and I do believe these issues have happened over and over and over so many times that there are people that know how to help you with these issues, just like the support centers and support groups. And I think it's very important, and I say it's time to heal, because a lot of deaths and suicides can be prevented. Mm-hmm. And that is what's bothering me the most, that we can't control life. We don't know when our day's up, when our number's up. But I do think, I believe that there are accidents and things can happen prematurely because of those pains and sufferings that are not dealt with, you know. Mm-hmm. And I believe, like, even with my brother, he got in the motorcycle, but he had had a fight with this girl who'd been cheating on him, you know, and it looks like there's some foul play, and we don't know. But he had a few drinks in him as well, because he was at a place. Now, he may have been told, go ahead and do that, and we'll give you a ride, and then the girl changed her mind. I don't know, right? I mean, I won't know all of the answers, because we're not getting all the answers. But I was thinking, oh my gosh, if he hadn't been upset, if he would have said, no, I'm not going to, you know, there's so many things that go through your head. But I do think that when we have more peace in our lives, when we do meditate and we do the exercises and we eat well and we take care of ourselves as well as we can, the odds are in our favor that we're going to live a longer, healthier life because we're learning the tools to deal with these situations, and it doesn't mean we're not perfect. If we were perfect, we'd be God. But it gives us the tools, and that's where I'm on this thing where, like, it's time to heal. You know, it's really, really time to heal. And none of us know the perfect way to heal or what's perfect or what's not perfect, but we do know love and peace. And when you don't feel the love and the peace, you know something's off, okay? It's a good indicator to say, I'm really, really agitated. Okay, what is this? And start working on that, you know, because it can be tough. But again, I'm bringing this up with the death of my brother. Many people are dealing with grief like we talked about and you mentioned, you know, with losing homes, financial situations, marriages going astray, relationships, loss when we're so used to our routines and our structure and things so it's but I think it's a major thing, and I think that's oh my gosh, can you imagine love and peace in the world if we had it? Well, can you imagine all the wars, all the struggling, all the stuff that could stop? I mean, it would just be you know, incredible. And but there's steps and there's tools, and just like everybody talks about it, you know, when you talk about, you mentioned Deepak Chopra and Tony Robbins, and I've listened to their things for years, over years, and I'd gone to some Tony Robbins workshops over the years, and Tony Robbins really gets into that NLP programming, you know, and the past and the anchors and the conditioning and how we're creatures of habit, and if we can dig into what was really bothering us before. And Deepak Chopra is more, he's very spiritual and very love and very, you know, amazing, amazing people, and they're excellent leaders, and my hat's off to them. And Oprah is a wonderful leader. She has she's got the best platform in the world. I would love to have her platform, you know, because she's just got the platform where you can, the platform to get on TV and radio and just to do your thing and be able to get out to millions and millions of people. I think to me that's the best job in the world because you're able to talk to so many people and get out there and show your heart and bring in the speakers and bring in the people and you know, like us. We're going to be bringing in more people on our show. Right now it's been you and I doing it and having a couple, but we're going to be bringing in more people so that we can have it structured a little bit more. We've been kind of, you know, doing what we want to do when we want to do it, and I know that can be a little confusing for anyone listening, and we are working on structuring that so that we can bring more positive change into the world. But I'll tell you, it's one thing about, you know, empathy or going through situations yourselves, it really does give you a perception and empathy. And the other thing that I found is it's you know, we worry about a heck of a lot of stuff in life. And, you know, you hear the 80-some-year-old emails that come through from an 80-some-year-old who's, you know, the long list of, if I could live my life over again, you know, I wouldn't worry, I would dance more, I would laugh more, I wouldn't, yada, 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 I wouldn't care about what people think. And you know, it's so true. And then you also get older and wake up and go, is this it? Uh-oh, what am I doing, you know? Yeah. And I think serving, it helps us because we realize these other people have needs too, and we can help. And it's just amazing. I just wish, like for me with real estate, I've done it so many years and I know it so well. And with our organization, you know, we can teach people, and we do, how to do it, what not to do, and everything. But I love to see the spiritual side, you know, in it more, because there's just a lot of wounded people walking around.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. You're right. Yep.
Yeah.
That is absolutely true. And you mentioned something earlier about helping other people, and I think it helps us, well, again, get back to Jesus. He said, you know, to find your life, you must lose your life. And that seems like such a what? You know, to find your life, you must lose your life. And that means, you know, lose your life in service to others, lose your life in, you know, in God. And selflessness, you know, and is the key to happiness. And you know, we, boy, that's just not our society. But
no, isn't it terrible how it's not, is it? It's got to change. It really needs. Who cares about the biggest house somebody has or the biggest car they have or what they do? You know what I mean? Does that really matter? Are you taking it with you? You know,
yeah.
What really matters is how many people have you loved and do you love and care? I mean, not that you don't want to have nice surroundings, nice house, and you know your lifestyle should be nice because God wants you to have plenty of money too. It's just that the biggest thing is love and peace. And I tell you, synchronicity is amazing. Like I've noticed since my brother died, different situations that have happened to me at times, I went, oh my gosh, that was just like an angel. That's exactly what I needed to hear right then at that moment.
Mm.
That whatever. Well, last night I was coming back from D.C. shuttle, I took the shuttle because my son's out of town, and I didn't want to bother anybody to drive me an hour and a half because I wouldn't leave my car because I was gone for a month. And the shuttle's gotten, I don't know, 13, 15 people in it, whatever. So this gentleman, he said, back here. And I sat next to this gentleman that is from coming in from Australia at a convention. They have a company that handles the ear transplants, the hearings.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And Sydney. And we start talking, and we're going through. And, I mean, of all the people I could have been sitting next to, right, in this thing. And of course, I've been through major grief. I'm debilitated, and you know, and going, what is going on? Well, one of the things that's happened to me in the last 3 months, and I've gone through some counseling, and they said you feel so guilty for the death of your brother, and you have nothing to feel guilty about. You've been a great sister. Your brother loved you. You loved him. Yada yada yada. And I was like, you're right. And they're like, that's why it's taken you. The counselors have told me so much. It's not longer. I mean, gosh, this isn't something you can just snap your fingers and it's going to go away. My life has changed forever. But something that I'm not letting go of. And so interestingly enough, who do I sit next to? This gentleman from Australia. You know, we just start talking and everything. And he's telling me what he's doing. I'm telling what I do. And like, where do you really live? Well, I don't really know where I live. You know how I say home is where the heart is, and I'm here, there, and everywhere right now. And
yeah.
And I said,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
My brother just recently passed away, and that makes me really not sure that I want to live where I'm at now, you know, because he was one of the reasons that I would want to be in that area.
Yeah.
And he says to me, his brother just passed away 3 years ago.
Mm.
His brother and he were 10 months apart. My brother and I are 15 months apart. I say are because I don't want to ever think of him. Spirit is never living, you know what I mean, like going
yeah.
on in life. He said, and his brother actually, and this gentleman's in the medical field, so but his brother had actually had some kind of ulcer problem and some type of problem, and then 6 months later he ended up in the hospital, and something happened. It was supposed to be a minor operation, and he died. And so what proceeded, we ended up talking the next hour and a half just about, and it was amazing because he was explaining things, the guilt that he felt. And he felt so guilty because being
wow.
in the medical field, why didn't he pick this up? Maybe they could have gone to a different hospital, yada, yada, yada.
Wow.
Family didn't want to sue because it's not going to bring him back. They talk about he said the parents have mourned like 3 years not going to functions. The family agreed to not do functions for a year. You know how everybody has different protocol.
Mm-hmm.
But it was amazing because he knew grief like the back of his hand. I mean, because he'd been through this, and he was
wow.
saying things to me because I said, I can't get through that. And I was just like, wait a minute, I have terribly felt guilty. Like, if I'd gotten my brother away from that situation, he wouldn't have been dead, he wouldn't die. You know, he'd have been away from that girl. Why did I invite her to Christmas and my birthday? It was so stupid. You know, I was just, I mean, you've heard me talk about just feeling so, and then like, wow. It was amazing the things he said. Now, was that, you know, you feel like God gives us angels. I mean, you know what
oh,
I mean?
Yeah.
To, you
wow.
know, to people, of all the places I could have sat, and it was just
yeah.
a wonderful conversation. And when I came home, of course, I went to sleep very quickly. I had been traveling all day. But in the morning, I woke up and I said, wait a minute. I did not cause my brother to get on the motorcycle that day.
Yeah.
I did not cause that accident. And I did not do anything in the months before. There's nothing I could have done that could have prevented the accident. And I was like, I'm going to say that mantra to get me to stop feeling this guilt.
Yeah.
And when I mention it to a girlfriend, she says, I've been telling you that for months now. And I'm like, it's not the same. It's not just a process like the light bulb goes off. You've got to feel it, live it. Maybe
yeah.
timing is everything. You know, timing does make a difference. But I realized, wait a minute.
what if I got my brother, what if my son, what if my brother completely moved in, got totally out of the situation? What's to say he would not have still taken his motorcycle that day, because maybe the lines were cut later. You know, you and I have talked about it, right? We don't know. We'll never know exactly what happened with the other stuff. Mm-hmm. What's to say he wouldn't have taken it later and then ran into the girl and her boyfriend or whatever, and a fight came out, and he died. You know what I'm saying? Like, I started realizing things that, see how these things can seem like, Of course. Why wouldn't you think that?
Yeah.
We don't, that's what we have to stop putting ourselves in. When we have empathy or we're talking to other people, we've got to let them be in their own shoes. You know what I mean? Don't assume that, because like these things, it's like, of course now it's not your fault. Well, I always felt responsible for everything since I was a little girl. I mean, that's just me, right? And it was like, It helped me so much. I'm not over it. I have a heck of a long ways to go. I miss them terribly. I mean, you should see what someone looks like when they've cried every day for over 3 months. It's not too good. But it hit. I was like, wow. And then he started talking about how we have to engage back in life. You know what I mean? We have to do these things. And we live a different life. They're not totally gone, right? They still put the place for him at holidays. So anyhow, I wanted to mention that because – lots of times what we need to hear lots of times what we do need to hear comes, you know what I mean, at the time. You know when they say the teacher's ready, I think Louise Hay said that years ago, the pupil, the pupil's ready, the teacher appears.
Yep.
So it's just, you know, but anyhow, like we did the show today on there's all different types of situations that cause you grief. Don't let anyone let you think that your grief is not a accountable, that you're not allowed to have that grief. You have to live through it and do what you can do. And so, everybody, I wish you peace.